it's another side that like wants to take more, wants to go that one more round. Because like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of One More Round of the Rocky Series podcast. I am your host, Ryan, and with me today, of course, is the lovely Kyle and the handsome Katie. How are you both doing?
Great. It's Super Bowl Sunday today.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I'm going to get me some vegan seitan wings later. Watch the game.
Who are you a routine for?
I do not care. One iota.
You're enjoying the festivities. That's yep. Your...
Okay. Isn't there a rumor that it's rigged for the Chiefs or something like that?
Well, if you like a conspiracy theory, sure.
So is it Team Taylor? Or I heard there was another girl for the other team. I forget who it was now.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't care who wins. Whoever wins, we all lose. Isn't that the tagline from Aliens?
I'm going to go for San Francisco just because of the conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. It would be interesting to see if the 49ers truly win. I actually like Taylor Swift. I like her music, but she really has the whole world by the balls. It'd be kind of fun just to watch maybe just one thing not work out for her this year. She already got Person of the Year. Well, she has the biggest concert of the world. She's worth $1 billion. Maybe your boyfriend doesn't win the football game.
Yeah, I do think it's ridiculous that people are up in arms about, like, she's there cheering her boyfriend on big whoop if it takes up 5 seconds of the game. Like, get over yourself.
I do like her, and she absolutely is allowed to watch her boyfriend play football the same way he watches her at a concert. So it's all fair play.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have a lot to cover today, folks. This is Rocky IV, episode one. We're starting season four, but before we get into the movie, we have a lot of kind of things to cover here. We got some emails to read, and why don't we just knock those out first?
All right. We have the subject is Rocky III. Hi, Ryan, Katie, Kyle. Love the show as always. Have just listened to the most recent Rocky One More Round episode, Rocky III episode 13. I disagree about comments that Sly got casting wrong for Mason the Lion Dixon and a more muscular actor or boxer should have been chosen. My view was that Sly chose someone who didn't look as good of shape as a typical Rocky fighter for the following reasons: to show his opponent wasn't taking the match seriously, and two, to make it more believable that Rocky had a chance to go toe-to-toe with him, as Rocky had strength, but his opponent had skill and age on his side. They wrote into the script him to be breaking his hand to also support making it believable that their boxing match was as even as it could be. A bit like if Mike Tyson came out of retirement to face Ruiz Jr. Tyson would still look in better shape, but doesn't have all the tools anymore to beat him. Tyson in his prime would have destroyed any of the current heavyweight champions. And if they did cartoon, R.I.P. Burt Young, would reflect this just like Rocky versus Mason the Lion Dixon. Love the show as always. Keep punching, Craig Davis.
Okay.
I generally agree with him. Although I don't think it was me who said that they should have cast someone else. And I suspect Katie said that more for the viewers'
of course.
Enjoyment.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what words in your mouth.
Also, he wasn't a good actor, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I agree that they even made a comment that Dixon didn't look in shape.
Mm-hmm.
The HBO guys. So that kind of confirms what he's saying. I think actually there has been a computer simulation fight between Mike Tyson and Tyson Fury, where I think they gave it to Tyson Fury, but I generally agree that Mike Tyson in his prime probably would have won,
though, mm-hmm.
in my opinion, because sure, he was superhuman at that time. And Tyson Fury is 9 inches taller than him. I think that's kind of the issue. Probably 60 pounds heavier. So there's quite a size difference. But Mike Tyson actually did really well against larger fighters, too. So Tyson Fury, interestingly enough, is named after Mike Tyson. That's why his name is Tyson.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense.
And I just want to say, Craig, thanks. I think we may have missed this. We haven't read this one yet, have we? because I think he sent it to me again saying that he sent this earlier and I think we missed it. So
yeah.
Okay. And he also wanted to say rest in peace to Carl Weathers. Oh, yes, we're going to get into that. Unless people think we have forgotten, don't worry. We're just going to the emails first. Okay.
So thanks, what Craig. Yeah, I appreciate
it. Well, we'll let you know. I don't want to spoil it. We'll let you know. We'll let you know. Okay. What's the next one?
The next one says, hi, Ryan, Katie, and Kyle. Genuinely enjoyed episode 13 of Rocky III podcast, whereby you all analyzed the triumphant training scene. I actually find this training scene one of the best in the Rocky franchise, aside from Rocky IV. Did you guys know that Rocky III was filmed throughout mid-1981, just after Stallone finished filming Victory of 1981, in which his weight plummeted down to a waif 70 kilograms in order to portray a POW character? According to Stallone, he lost all fat and muscle for Victory in 1981, then for Rocky III, focused on rebuilding pure muscle, although Seiko claims Stallone used growth hormone for Rocky III. No doubt you're all aware of Stallone's infamous training regimen and insane diet preparation for Rocky III, daily intake consisting of 12 espressos, canned tuna, burnt toast, and some fruit.
Why does the toast have to be burnt?
I don't know.
Because it's Sly.
It's Sly. I've always said it's Sly.
He's a storyteller. Sure. I mean, he looked amazing. At that point, I don't care what he did. I mean, I don't care what he tells us he did. He did it. Mm-hmm. Whether it was 12 espressos or 8, whether it was holy bread versus white, it doesn't matter. Either way, he looked the way he looked. But Sly's a storyteller. Don't forget, guys. He's a storyteller.
Can't wait for the One More Round podcast for Rocky IV. Me neither. Keep up the entertaining podcasts and try to find some interesting trivia and anecdotes pertaining to the production of Rocky IV.
Is he telling us what to do? When I read that, is he giving us
I think he maybe meant that he will try to find
Okay.
Maybe.
Well, yeah, by all means, like, you want us to do more work. You know how much work I got to do on these shows, man? I'm not going to start digging around and like all these trivia. Everyone knows most of the trivia. Let's be honest. Like, if you're a real Rocky IV fan, we're not going to tell you stuff like, did you know that Dolph Lundgren really cracked Stallone's ribs or whatever, and he went to the hospital via helicopter from Vancouver to LA? But okay, you know what I'm saying. Like, here's the challenge. I challenge someone to send us an email giving us some trivia they think we don't know. How does that sound?
I like this challenge.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, that was regards, Peter Schuller from Australia.
All right. Great email. Thanks, Peter, from the Land Down Under. We appreciate it.
The next one is episode 15, Thoughts. Hey, y'all. Great work as always. I love the second fight of Rocky and Clubber. Out of all the fights in the Rocky franchise, it's probably my favorite. Just the intensity and the fire of it was just something that I've always had a soft spot for. Rewatching this fight again, it almost reminds me of a pro wrestling match. The reason being, you have the babyface, Rocky, starting off hot, getting the advantage in the first round. Then you have the heel, Clubber, cut off Rocky and start to take advantage through cheap shot means, as Kyle aptly put it, in the second round. Even to the point of knocking Rocky down twice, and you have Rocky selling the vicious shots like a babyface would, and Clubber doing the trash talking like a heel would, gloating. Then we have Rocky start to make his comeback like a babyface would. A great example is Hulk Hogan hulking up in a match. Right at the end of the second round and into the early third round, then Rocky as the babyface having the height of the comeback and the crowd at a fever pitch hits the finisher on the heel, Rocky knocking out Clubber and getting the win. It is such the epitome of a huge babyface win in a major pay-per-view match. Really good point. He goes on to say, in real life, Stu Nahan was a play-by-play hockey announcer. Yeah, we inquired if they were real announcers. So thanks for that, Michael. Play-by-play hockey announcer for the Philadelphia Flyers, as well as doing football for the Philadelphia Eagles and baseball later for pregame for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bill Baldwin, though, didn't have any real sports announcing jobs. I also sadly didn't realize that Bill Baldwin died in 1982, so Rocky III is one of his last film roles. I appreciate the comparison that Kyle has with Clubber and George Foreman. Last year, there was a biopic of George Foreman's life called Big George Foreman, The Miraculous Story of the Once and Future Heavyweight Champion of the World, if you want to check that out.
Yeah, George Foreman's life is super interesting. Mm-hmm. From what I probably know a lot in there just from watching a bunch of smaller videos on George, but he's a very interesting character, to say the least.
Now, do you know what the Hulk Hogan George Foreman connection is?
I don't.
Hulk Hogan was offered the grill, and he turned down that product. Oh, really? Offer. They gave the George Foreman, and he ran with it. Yeah.
Now that's the kind of trivia we're asking for, you guys.
That's the trivia. We're asking for. Sorry.
Yeah, next level stuff.
Yeah.
My trivia knowledge for Rocky is like really confined to what actually happens in the films. And the more you get to like behind the scenes stuff, like it really fades away quick.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. Well, like, again, it's a good challenge. Tim likes your challenge in the chat there. He thinks that's a good challenge for people to send us an email where they think we may not know that trivia. Then we can say, do we know this trivia segment? And there you go. That'll be your new segment. Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Right. So Michael goes on to say, and before the Creed films made the statement on the ending, I always thought that the secret fight of Rocky and Apollo ended in a draw. Oh, that's an interesting take.
I think most people felt that way. Or that there was never, quote unquote, a decision, that it was just a sparring match. Like, nobody truly got knocked out. They just threw the fists around a little bit. Probably, yeah. You know, knowing Apollo, and he would have punched hard enough to hurt, but not hard enough to knock out type punches. You know, they're hitting each other, but they're not hitting to kill.
Rocky's fighting style, you have to wear a guy down over a long period of time, right, and then knock him out, which wouldn't happen there. So Apollo always does well in the early stages. So, like, it would make sense that Apollo would win, despite the fact that he made Rocky in his image to fight Clubber.
Yeah, they were just like, let's just fight a few rounds as friends. Michael says, so excited for Rocky IV and y'all's deep dive into it. It is my favorite of the series, and it still rings true for that. Just go listen to my favorite quick screen episode on the director's cut to hear a lot of that.
So yeah, thanks, Michael. He's a Screeners podcast, so he's saying that he did an episode about the director's cut. So check it out, guys. Screeners podcast, Google it. Yeah, highly recommend you listen to him. He does a great job. And I also just want to say, he sent us an email that I forgot to send out to us last episode, I think. I just want to add this part. He did say that B.A. Baracus stood for bad attitude. And I know that too, but I think it was bad attitude unofficially. I think it was supposed to be badass, but they couldn't do that for the television. But yes, bad attitude was what was verbalized. But I swear it was actually officially badass Baracus. But they couldn't say badass on network television in the 80s. Yeah. I could be wrong about that. Maybe I'm retconning my memory. So I appreciate that.
The next one is from Bruce.
Okay.
From Minnesota. Ryan, Kyle, and Katie, hello again. And congrats on completing your recap of Rocky III. All three of you did a phenomenal job as usual. Well, thanks, Bruce. Also, like all fans of the Rocky movie saga, I was very sad and shocked to hear about the death of Carl Weathers. Seeing all of the wonderful tributes to Carl on social media.
Oh, we spoiled it for Kyle. Kyle, sorry, we spoiled that. That's what happened.
Seeing all the tributes on social media helped take some of the sting out of his passing. He was consistently praised for being a good actor and a great human being. Ryan, kudos to you for the tribute you delivered for Carl on YouTube. I look forward to hearing the three of you review Rocky IV. Sincerely, Bruce. And I concur.
Thanks, Bruce.
It was a good tribute.
Oh, thank you. And speaking of tributes, if you're listening to this podcast right now, either on YouTube, which some of you do, or on the standalone feed of the One More Round podcast, which a good handful do as well, this podcast is part of... You've heard me say this before, but maybe people are listening now for the first time because Rocky IV is their favorite film, which I guarantee you is going to happen. There's a podcast network called The Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. So if you just Google that, trust me, it'll come up. The Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network. And on that network is this show amongst my Rambo podcast and some other shows that cover like movies from Van Damme, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know I'm missing some, but the variety of action heroes, okay? The Last of the Action Heroes. We've all put together a tribute to Carl Weathers. My YouTube tribute, if you haven't heard it, will be on that segment. So it's going to be like a collage of, hi, this is so-and-so from the so-and-so podcast, and they're going to give tributes. I haven't heard it yet. Seiko of the Mel Gibson podcast, he actually put it together. So thank you to Seiko for putting it together. We all gave him our audio files. He's going to piece it together. So it's going to be released before this episode. So if you're on those feeds that aren't part of the network, that's what I'm trying to get at. Go to the network and listen to the Carl Weathers tribute that we did as podcast hosts, and check out the other shows on the network as well. Might as well plug that as well.
Very nice. Yeah, the next one, this is the last one, and this is from Tim, who I think is here with us today.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Hey, Katie, Kyle, and Ryan. Absolutely love the journey you've taken us on so far covering the Rocky franchise. But now we've arrived at Rocky IV, which is my absolute favorite of the franchise. It was the first Rocky movie I ever saw. Me too. And was fortunate to see it in the theater back in 85. Not so much for me. Maybe it was the awesome training montage and the fight scenes were incredible. I do like some of the scenes Sly added in the director's cut, but I gotta be honest, part of me kind of misses the robot, eh? 100%, Tim, I'm with you. I like the 85 of it all. Tim goes on to say, wondering your thoughts on which version you like better. Thanks again. Your podcast is great. As always, cheers, Tim.
Okay, lot to unravel there. I'm going to be very quick because I don't want to drag this out. This will be discussion throughout the season. Because I'm in Qatar right now, this might be the last episode that we do while I'm in Qatar. But the next episode we do, I'll be in Canada, knock on wood. I actually own the copy to the director's cut. And I was going to watch the first, you know, 5-10 minutes of the director's cut so I could verbalize to you guys now today the differences that took place. Now, I'm not going to get into all the editing differences. There are different angles that Sly took. He took things out, like little subtle things. He did like some crazy changes. Like there were like a lot of micro changes. The changes I'm going to talk about when we get to those parts in the films during this podcast is just like basically the added scenes. There's two or three legit whole new scenes that it would. So when we get to that part of the director's cut in this original cut coverage, we'll definitely just talk about that chronologically. So I'll have a video file ready saying, okay, we're at the part now where Rocky and Adrian talk in the kitchen. There's a whole scene of them talking in the kitchen. It's after Apollo comes to visit them at the house. It's a nice little scene. So we'll show it, talk about it, and move on. So we'll say, yeah, this is from the director's cut. But I'm not going to go into the whole, like, yes, the robot's not in the director's cut. And then the last fight, there's just different takes and angles. And of course, Apollo's fight, we'll talk about that too, some of the subtle changes. So that's how we're going to handle that. As far as what we'd like better, this was a big one because it's like, I understand what Sly was doing as a 70 plus something guy when he re-edited the film. He made it a grittier film, a bigger drama, a less of a montage. These are just, it's a 3-montage film with a robot. I think he wanted to flesh it out and make it more serious in the vein of Rocky 3 and 5 even. And so the transition to 5 wouldn't be so jarring. So that was my guess as to why he did it. But I think ultimately, yes, we'll just cover the original and talk about the director's cut when we get to those certain scenes. What do you guys think about that?
I concur. My go-to, just to Tim's question, sure. I do like the original. It was made in the 80s and it is a product of the 80s. And I appreciate that. Yes. I like having the director's cut as kind of a compliment to it, but the original is my go-to.
And one last thing, I've done it before and people actually took me up on the offer and I still have it. I have somebody made, I forget who did it. I apologize. Let me know if you're listening to the show. Let me know it was you so I can give you credit. But I have the, what's called the Rocky IV Ultimate Cut. And what it is somebody, bless their hearts, combined the original cut with the added footage, keeping the robot. They took the time and effort to make a ultimate cut that has the robot with the extra scenes. So if you want that cut, send me an email, at the email in the show notes. You see in every show notes, our email, or ask me for the email in the YouTube comment or whatever, and I'll give it to you. I'll give you that link to the shared drive and download your socks off. I was told by the creator to share it as people see fit, but I have a copy if you want to watch it. That's it for emails, or is that the last one? Yeah, that's the last one. Okay. Before, I'm going to be very quick on this, and I did bring this up on my Facebook. I'm going to be very quick on this. We try to keep away from drama on our show to a certain degree, but I just want to give a plug to John Rivoli. I just want to give him a plug and say a couple things about him. He has been nothing but gracious and kind to me, Ryan Rebalkin, and this is very important because he not only has he been kind and gracious regarding his art and his stories, he's been a guest on my podcast and the Ramble podcast a couple times each. I've interviewed him. For example, on the Ramble podcast, he created a new piece of artwork for Rambo, First Blood, and he shared that drawing for the first time publicly on my podcast, which I thought was a huge honor, for example. So only he and Sly were the only two people that knew of that painting and what it looked like. And then he shared it to me with our, you know, few viewers, and he shared it with us online. So that's just the kind of guy he is, okay? He also said that he would have taken me to Rocky Day. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I don't think I made this public. But had I been in Canada, not in this wonderful country of Qatar, if I wasn't here serving my wonderful country of Canada, which I love doing, of course, but if I wasn't here on deployment, essentially, he was going to take me to Rocky Day and I would have been able to meet Sly because he was one of Sly's VIPs. John, and I won't say who, but John was able to do that for other people, and I'll keep those people private, but he was actually able to do that for other people that I know. And he said that he was going to do that for me, but I was unable to do it. I had to turn down that offer. He says, well, the next time it happens, I'll bring you, which is great. That's fine that he does, but that's the whole point is I never ask anything of him. And this is the stuff that he does on his own accord. He's been nothing but gracious, kind. And on top of that, he's a freaking amazing artist. Mm-hmm. He's a freaking amazing artist. Sly loves his artwork. We love his artwork. And I'm not going to say any names, but something really gross happened on social media with somebody who's kind of prominent in the Rocky fandom universe. And they posted on their social media themselves ripping down John's artwork. And I'm almost getting choked up because it's really heartbreaking because someone who works so hard on this artwork and is so passionate about the Rocky world and somebody else who supposedly is as well to a large degree makes a mockery of the artwork and tears it down saying, I got to take all this negativity out of my house, out of my life. I'm going to put up something different. And then people in the comments were tearing down John as well, saying, yeah, get him out of here. He's all these terrible things about John. So I went on Facebook and I shared basically what I shared with you now as a public post. And I didn't ask John for permission to do this. So I was like, I hope he doesn't mind. Thankfully, he was happy with it. I just saying the things I said to you guys, the listeners, on my Facebook. Lo and behold, that individual did take down the video shortly after my post. Now, I don't know if the two are connected or maybe had a natural change of heart. I don't know. But that being said, the Facebook post has received an overwhelming response of positivity and shared stories about John and his character. It's over 300 likes right now and loves on my Facebook, which is amazing. I can't believe how much it's grown. Just shows the love and support that Rivoli has. And anyways, I say this because I think it's just important that if people are going to be public about certain things, and I'm going to be public about the good things, and I'm going to publicly say that I support John, his artwork, his personality, and his friendship. Look, at the end of the day, I know not everyone can be friends with everyone. And maybe this other individual truly felt whatever it was that this person was going through with John. But you got to keep that stuff private. Work it out privately. Don't do it in the public court of opinion. Do it privately. And if you have anything derogatory about anyone, you just say, yeah, they're great. Okay, so there you go. That's that. So we're going to get to Carl. One last thing before Carl, because I want to do Carl into the film. Did you guys see Sly on Jimmy Fallon?
Oh, I just thought it was adorable. He was very good. You know, he was playing into all of the rockiness and you know, he was just playing a character, a version of Sly that, Yeah. And
he was silly and fun.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Typical. Yeah. It was great to see him. He looked great for 77. He's looking good. And Jimmy was one of the most least annoying I've ever seen him. So Jimmy was on his best behavior. He really gave the floor to Sly, which was nice to see because Jimmy can be a little bit, he was actually good. And I like Jimmy Fallon. It's just sometimes he's not the best TV host. But yeah, it was actually great. So go and check that out, guys. We're not going to play it or nothing, but go on YouTube, Jimmy Fallon, Sly. Of course, now he's plugging, of course, The Family Stallone Season 2. Who's watching it with me? Because I'm going to be talking about it when the episodes come. Who's going to watch it with me?
I'll, of course, watch it.
Yes. Okay. Kyle?
No. Okay. I basically don't watch. Like I'm off social media completely. For my own well-being, and it's really improved my well-being.
Oh, good.
And I know that's not what you mentioned was not necessarily social media, but I generally don't watch a lot of TV either. My wife and I will pick a series of a show we like, and that show wouldn't make the cut of agreed shows that we watch together. But I basically time to watch an episode or two a night of a certain series with my wife, and that's about it. So for that reason, probably not. Plus, I'm not really interested in Sly that much outside of...
Oh, I know. It was more of a joke. I knew you were going to say no. That's why I asked. I know. And I will say, too, the reason why I like watching it, too, is because I watch it with Becky. That's my wife, Becky, because it's funny. Like, I don't know if I really, really would want... I guess maybe I would, but it's actually something she enjoys with me. She's not a huge Sly fan, but she's enjoying the family antics and their stories. It's cheap reality TV, I get it, but it's silly, but it's harmless. It's an easy 20 minutes.
It's a guilty pleasure, right?
They're all gorgeous people, so it's very easy to watch, and they really do love each other, and it's fun to watch. So, yeah. Okay, so now that was it for everything news-related in Kitchen Sink. Now we're going to get into, of course, your thoughts on the passing of Mr. Weathers.
I was shocked. I had no idea that he was in ill health. Was that well known?
Nope. No. It was a shock to everyone.
Yesterday, I read about the cause of death that was revealed.
Oh.
Oh, was yes. The vaccine? You know that? Yes, it was the COVID vaccine.
Oh,
okay.
No. They did reveal the cause of death. He had heart disease.
Was it?
Which, yes. I'm not an expert on heart disease by any means, but I always think of people may who are less, maybe like myself, who are less healthy, right? I always consider
it's the number one. Weathers. It's actually the number one killer in the world.
Like, I didn't know worldwide if it was, but that doesn't surprise me. I always considered someone like Carl to be, you know, someone who was in excellent health their whole life. I was shocked, but I don't know much about heart disease either. It's really sad, you know, and it's sad, yeah. He seemed to live a really good life. He never heard of, at least I didn't, any scandals or anything involving Carl Weathers, like no Me Too type of stuff or
no.
Like he seemed like a really stand up guy, and he was in town recently. My nephew yelled something out to him. Nephew Emmett, who has autism, who's not into Rocky, but somehow, like, he just knows stuff.
Maybe and Mandalorian, like, does he watch that? A lot of people got to know Carl from that very popular Star Wars show.
Yeah. Maybe he could have. They were there for, I think it was mostly Star Wars themed. That's why they were there in the first place. So maybe that's Mandalorian, why. But he yelled out, like, hey, look, it's Carl Weathers or something like that. And Carl was gracious enough to, like, wave or smile or whatever. That's awesome. Know, which that means a lot to me because I love my nephew and, you know, I don't want to see him get snubbed or whatever. So I don't know. I always really liked his character in the Rocky films or in Happy Gilmore, anything that he was in. So I don't get truly sad when celebrities pass away because I don't know them. It's not like someone close to me, but it does make me sad when someone passes away young. Like he did. And I think to a degree it makes you aware of your own mortality too. I'm turning 40 this year. You know, I hope I don't get heart disease in I don't want to die in 30 years from now. Right. Like I want to have a long life and I don't want to make this about me, but
you're not. And I think that's very fair. What you said there, you're very, well, it's one of the things I said, I think in my tribute actually was the idea being when you're watching these adults, when you're a kid and then you're pushing 50 like me, I'm pushing 50 freaking years old. I don't see no crowd around me either. Oh, wait a minute. But anyways, I like, of course, it only stands to reason that those same people have got to be pushing 80 to 90 at some point. Like it's.
That's right.
Yeah.
You do notice that too, don't you? Like with the older you get, all these people are dying around you now. Like people in your personal life, but just people you grew up seeing on television and stuff. Because, like, when you're 20 years old, how many people do you know who've died, right? Like, not a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you may see someone who died, but then you never grew up watching that person. But now, like, as I'm approaching 40, it seems like someone that I grew up with on TV or maybe someone I knew in real life, every year somebody dies. And it only gets, I'll say, worse from there, I think.
Yeah, the heart disease actually doesn't surprise me, just given what I assume his diet to be like. And a lot of those guys, so Arnold has changed the way he eats, so he will live longer. I will just say that. I think he's done
that on purpose.
Are you saying eating a lot of red meat or something like that?
Just animal products in general. Oh, okay, it's really, it's like it causes heart disease. I mean, yeah. So Arnold, he's over the, I don't know when, but he's been eating plant-based for quite some time now.
Yeah, I saw a video of like him giving a tour of his fridge or something like that.
Yeah, it is sad and very surprising. And it's too bad we all got to get old and all of those things. I don't want this to sound like, I don't want to like knock on wood, but things kind of come in threes. And so I was like, I don't like this.
Don't worry about that.
Bert dies a few months ago and then Carl. And so
we still have Talia Shire. She can die first. So she'll die before Sly. There's your third one.
Yeah, maybe Arnold can rub off on Sly and get him to like eat more plants and stuff so he can live. I want him to be 90 something. So
he might. Yeah, I mean, his mom did. His mom lived to 90 something.
I think that was part of it's genetics too.
Exactly. Sure.
Yeah. Like, for example, my grandma's 96. She like has never probably eaten super well, doesn't exercise, doesn't do anything. Yeah. And she's like, her mental faculties are in place. She has no health problems, never got cancer, heart disease.
She should take up smoking.
She did smoke for 40 something years.
That's crazy.
She smoked from the 40s to the 80s. So like, I don't even remember her smoking, but she still got 4 decades of smoking under her belt. And it's just like, some people are just built to last while others aren't.
But I suspect like anything is like, somebody can drink every day or drink all the time, never get drunk, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Or somebody can have one drink, they become an alcoholic. Like some things are in your genes are, what's the word I'm looking for? I had it in my head.
Predisposed to something.
Yeah, predisposed to do something. Right. So somebody could smoke their whole life and never die of lung cancer. My grandfather, who never had a smoke in his life, died of lung cancer. So some things are just in our genes. So you can do things to prolong, meaning let's say Carl was the best eater in the world, but he still died of heart disease because that's just his heart's just saying, I'm done. It doesn't matter. So you can do a lot to prevent things, but at the end of the day, we're all going to die anyways, but you want to live healthy at the end of the day because the odds will be you'll live a little bit longer and healthier. That's all. You don't want to give up because you'll all die. Yeah. So not to make it about health, but it sucks that Carl did obviously pass away. Mm-hmm. 76 isn't awfully young, but it's not old because a lot of people are living to 80 now, but I almost feel like anything before 80 seems a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I agree. 80,
I consider if you die in your 70s, I consider that quite young.
Me too.
Mom just commented about my grandma. She smoked for 45 years, drank multiple pots of coffee a day, and shunned vegetables and physical activity.
That's great. That's great, Grandma. I love that.
She's still around.
The only other thoughts I have on Carl.
That's amazing. She's still alive.
Is that it's very the timing with our cover. You know,
I know it's weird. It is recovering the movie now. Yeah.
And I actually watched. Unknowingly, I watched Rocky IV the day that Carl died.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. And then the next day is when I found out that he passed. And I was like, oh, my God, I literally just watched Rocky IV where he dies on screen. And we're going to be covering that.
Carl. You killed Carl, man.
Yeah, it's your
fault. I don't know, man. But, Carl, the dancing destroyer, the king of sting, the master of disaster, the prince of punch. What's the other one? The Count of Monte Cristo. But he will forever be the one and only Apollo Creed to me.
Yeah.
And we should all live like there is no tomorrow.
Don't take that too literally, but you should.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. Just teasing.
Too bad we all got to get old. And Burr Young has passed. Burgess Meredith, of course. Tony has passed. Now Carl and Talia and Sly and Dolph are next. I mean, this is the reality of the way it goes, folks. Like, as we get older, they're not going to live to 150. At some point, we're all going to pass. So it's the reality of life, but we enjoy what we can with what we have when we have it. And that's all we can do. And I will just say this last week, because I gave my little bit of tribute on my Ramble podcast. And also, it's going to be on that tribute portion on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network anyway. So I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts because you guys weren't. Not that you weren't a part of that, but we knew that I was going to talk about it on our show. That's why I didn't do it. Carl Weathers is a great guy. He is Apollo Creed, absolutely. And I love him in Predator. He was great on Arrested Development. Hilarious in the whatever the Adam Sandler movie was.
Happy Gilmore. He was Chubbs Peterson.
That's right. And I've only seen that movie a couple times. I love Adam Sandler, but I don't repeat watch his films. If that makes sense. I do watch every one of his films, but I don't repeat watch them. He seemed like a great guy. I mean, he was also cankerous too with Sly a little bit, which I kind of liked. You know, he didn't give permission to have his pictures used in Rocky Balboa for the flashback scenes. Like, he's funny that way. Like, and Sly called him Apollo Greed after that. But you know, we all go through ebbs and flows in life, and it's just part of human nature. Like, none of us are perfect. We could butt heads with people we love, we could butt heads with, right? So yeah, he'll be missed, but we have his film legacy to live on forever. Okay, now we're gonna get into the film, folks. Not too bad. We actually did pretty good considering the emails, the news, the housekeeping, and everything else. So we are gonna get into the film where Apollo dies. Sorry,
what?
Saying that every episode. Yeah, sorry. I shouldn't spoil the film. I apologize. Maybe nobody's seen the film yet. For the sake of not brevity, but the sake of we get it. We know that the film starts with the ending of Rocky III. We don't have to play that all out again. We know exactly what happens. We're just gonna get right into the events that start in Rocky IV, the film off, okay?
Because there's so many emails that say Rocky IV is the favorite, Katie.
Yeah, of course.
I know it's one of yours. Ryan, I don't know where you rank Rocky IV. I just want to be the contrarian. I think Rocky IV kind of sucks.
You mentioned that.
I just want to put, I want it on the record.
Well, this is going to be interesting then, Kyle. We're going to go to toe-to-toe, it sounds like.
You know what? I loved Rocky IV as a kid. And part of me still enjoys it because it's nostalgic. It brings back good memories. But it has been falling on my list of favorite films for quite a while now. So I just want to put it out there. So I'm going to be a bit of a dick throughout this series, I think.
It's the most rewatchable. It's just fun.
I'm in the middle to both of you. I agree with what Kyle's saying, and I understand why he's saying it. I agree with what Katie. I'm not trying to
I hear it.
A diplomatic about this, but Like, I'm being honest here. When he climbs a mountain, yells Drago, that's like one of the best moments in the Rocky franchise. The same way that Rocky V is much maligned by the Rocky fan base, is much maligned, though there are many lovers of it. There's many detractors. There's more detractors. But Rocky V has one of the best scenes in the Rocky franchise as well, with Mickey visiting the flashback of Mickey. Mickey visiting Rocky's memory. Anyways.
That's exactly what happened.
I know. That's what I was saying. Rocky IV, it's tough because... We'll get into it, we get to Rocky V, but there was such a course correction, and it was done purposefully by Sly. I mean, it quote-unquote failed in the eyes of the audience, but the course correction was intentional because Rocky IV got out of control. It's out of control. We've said it 100 times. I'll say it again. What happens to Rocky V? Does he have to fight an alien? You fight Drago. It only makes sense that Rocky has to lose everything. His fight has to be his family. And that's why, in many ways, Rocky V has aged the best. Between Rocky 3, 4, and 5, those three films, Rocky 5 has aged the best. Take away the soundtrack.
It's like a fine wine that requires a sophisticated palate to enjoy.
It's a great family drama. Are you saying
Rocky 4 is like a wine cooler or like a Zima? I'm trying to think.
Rocky 4 is the Bud Light of the Rocky series. It's a nice, just pound it down.
Easy drinking.
Yeah.
It's a fun drink. Look, it's a fun drink. It's a party movie. It's a party drink. And I love it. I do love it. It's an easy watch. I'm never bored watching it. And I'm sure Kyle feels the same way. It's an easy watch. I just don't know where Rocky is in it sometimes.
Well, he is on a coke binge with his new woman. I mean, what happened, right? I think he took his eye off the prize a little bit, which we'll get into. Like, there's problems with it, but I love it.
Well, there's a problem right away.
Yes.
There's a problem. We're going to get to it right away.
I think it's aging slightly better as of yet. For one reason only, is when this was made, of course, the Cold War was going full steam. Russia was the enemy. I didn't grow up really in the Cold War era, right? Like, I was 7 when the Soviet Union collapsed. And so I didn't view Russia as negatively growing up as older people would. And so this hating on Russia in Rocky IV, it's not like I loved Russia, but like it was a little cheesy to me and outdated, like this big bad Russian enemy, because Russia wasn't seen that way in the 90s. It basically collapsed. But now Russia is returning to be more like what it used to be, the Soviet bad boy and everything that's going on in Ukraine right now. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes the Rocky film here a little more relevant. Like, I at least see the Russians a little bit more the way they were seen in 1985 now than I did, say, 15 years ago or whatever. So I'll give it a couple little points there. It's come up a little bit on the scale. Not a ton, but...
All right, as everyone knows, yes, written and directed by Sly. He met the lovely Brigitte Nielsen. He married the lovely Brigitte Nielsen from this film. They met on this film. I believe they met on this film. I get it. Every time I see her on the screen, like, she is a stunning woman. She's old legs and breasts and blonde hair. She's gorgeous. If you don't think she's gorgeous in this film, I don't know. Like, She's
beautiful. She's a very good looking person.
Yeah, she's crazy. I get it. I understand all that stuff, but I don't care. You know,
I don't know anything about her.
That's not fair to say. She's odd and weird.
So is he.
We all are, and they're both young, and they're both in their prime during this time. They had fun together. Let's be honest. They had a great time in bed, I'm sure. So kudos to both of them. They both got what they wanted out of the relationship. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Here's the first problem right away. And do you know what it is before I get to it?
Overnight, the kid ages 6 years.
Yes. Everyone talks about Rocky V and the kid aging. Nobody does it for Rocky IV. This is a huge film flub. You can almost make this work. We don't know when that fight took place.
Yeah.
We assume it was right after. But that favor could have taken place 5 years later, 4 to 6 years later. It could have, because they have a different house, right? This is a different house in Rocky III. So that's clue number one. Time has passed. It's a different house. Clue number two, the kid is older. Clue number three, it's a different car. It's a car of a current time. It's a 1985, whatever car. It's not a 1982 car. Time has passed. Is that secret fight 3 to 5 years later?
It's possible. There's nothing to say it couldn't be. I think it's because you see that at the end of the third film, you associate with the timeline of the third film. There was nothing to say that time had gone by. So no. It's very easy to assume it was shortly after the third fight, you know, enough time for Rocky to physically recover from fighting Clubber. But there's no reason why it couldn't have been a few years later.
That's how I retcon it now, is that that favor by Apollo took 3 to 5 years to correlate.
I see what you're saying. They just chose, because the movie, they're dating it in the mid-80s. And so they're just choosing to add a lot of time. They want the kid to be this age. They say,
oh, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I'm doing them a huge favor by retconning for them. I'm actually doing them the favor. They wrote it exactly that this fight took place after Rocky healed after the fight, you know, a couple weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
Apollo gives him a black eye and Rocky drives home. It hasn't even been a month since Clubber's fight. That's actually what the timeline really is. But everything's changed. The house has changed. New car. It's the same old Rocky timeline where the cars that exist, the timeline exists, doesn't match up, yada, yada, yada. But it's just funny. I'd only bring this up because everyone slags on Sly's kid aging in Rocky V when the same thing happens in Rocky IV.
Agreed. The other thing, too, is that we'll get to that scene, but he says, it's almost been 9 years since you've married me, since we've been married.
That's right. So it's going to be 85.
But he's not champion for 9 years. Like, that's not a thing.
Yeah, like, you can't go 3 years without taking a fight.
Yeah.
Is a heavyweight champion.
So he's had, I think we're led to believe he's probably had fights again. He's still the, because he's still the champion at the time.
He could have.
We just have to go with it. But there's a lot of timeline issues in this movie as well, to your point, Ryan.
Yeah. There you go. Already, it's just, I think the filmmaker, Sly, just wants us to think it's been a couple months. But then you're right away in his own dialogue, it's been 9 years since the first fight with Apollo. That means we are in 1985.
Yeah, sitcoms used to do that in the 80s too. Like, they, to spice up the storyline, they'd add a baby, but then babies are boring. So the next season, it's like a 7-year-old.
Right, of course.
You know,
Rocky pulls up in his Lambo. Kid's got a big annoying camera to film his dad arriving.
That's super 1980s. Like,
yeah, the big camera. Deal. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting a phone call. I'm just going to step out. You guys just keep going.
Sure.
I'm going to yell at you.
How you doing?
Fine.
Oh, you know, don't you think that's a little bright, don't you think? A little bit.
Where'd you?
Okay, so the kids, you know, he's got a birthday hat on. He's got the camera and the light in Rocky's face. Now, watch the camera. It's just really, I really psychoanalyze this. When the camera goes back on Rocky, there's a little like graph on the right of the camera with a triangle going up and down, some numbers. Did you ever catch that? That's the focus. I'm really sorry that the volume's low. I'll try to boost it when we get it out. I'll make sure it's a little bit louder when I record it for the next episode. So I do apologize it's low, but there are captures on. But I'll try to level the audio for the release. We all know the scene anyways, even if you hear it quietly. Everyone knows exactly what's happening here. Watch the video camera that goes back on Rocky. Watch the little bar graph. It's like numbers 30 to 50 or 60. It's the focus.
Okay.
It's the focus. And so when Rocky goes into the camera, the number goes up really high to show that this automatic focus on this camera is working overtime on Rocky's focus. So the camera is automatically focusing Rocky. That's a little trivia there for you folks. How do you like that trivia? Did anybody notice that? The camera showing us the automatic focus that this camera has is a high-end camera. Where'd you get that hat?
A friend gave it to me. Like it?
Who punched you in the eye?
Same friend.
All right, so Apollo gave him that hat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like an Apollo style hat, but I love it. I love those. This is a great look. You guys, can I just preface also by my apologies in advance to you two and for the listeners, because I'm going to be so all over Sly. This is peak. He is so good looking. His look here is very handsome.
No, he looks fantastic. And don't apologize. We have female listeners that listen to the podcast. We want you to be the female voice.
It's this 1985 version. It's peak. Yes. He's very handsome.
Absolutely. I feel a little triggered that you're objectifying men right now, Katie.
Get over it, Kyle, because there's going to be more triggered to come.
I find these to be microaggressions towards me personally. And I'm going to have to make passive-aggressive remarks in reply. And also make complaints to the show head, Ryan, to HR in private, to try and get you removed from the show.
Okay.
But
we have to get a younger female co-host. Go ahead, Kyle.
It's funny. They've never even heard of Rocky. Come on. Right.
I agree that hat isn't very Apollo Creed, but in Happy Gilmore, Carl Weathers wore a hat like that. So to me, is like it does suit him. But even that's totally illogical. Like that movie came out way later, and it's a totally different film. But
so Kyle, I was mentioning before. I know you missed it, but look on the right side when it goes on to Rocky. There's numbers with an arrow going up and down with the numbers. That's to indicate the camera automatically focusing. Because when he goes in close, when he does the end part, he goes, whoa, when he does that part at the end there, you'll see the numbers get up high because the camera's working overtime to automatically focus on. It shows like the energy level of the focus energy. Seriously. I love it.
That's weird. Better hurry, Dad.
You know, you're developing a very, very loud personality.
Don't go it's too annoying.
Fast, or you're going to get out of focus.
Oh, really?
Whoa. See? Mm-hmm. The numbers went up. And he, I love how he says, don't go too fast because you're going to get out of focus. What a wonderful 80s thing to worry about. Nowadays, everyone's like, what are we talking about? There was a time, folks, dear kids who are listening to this podcast, anyone under 20, there was a time that our cameras did not automatically focus. We would have to, even video cameras, we'd have to take this little round knob and we'd have to move the focus. And there's like this circle with a line in the middle of the circle where you have to line up the two lines together to make the circle like a perfect circle that would give you the perfect focus. It was a real thing, folks. Look at all the gifts Polly has here. Look at how many gifts he actually has.
It looks like a child's. It's decorated for a child, like the tablecloth and all the balloons and the sign. It's like a child's birthday party.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Polly
basically he's changed to be this silly character who is basically a child. Polly and Rocky 3 and especially 4. 4 is the apex of silly Polly. And yeah, he's basically like your mentally disabled uncle or cousin that you have to be like, yes, very nice. You know, you don't take him too seriously. Love them.
You could argue that the kid just wanted to decorate like this.
Well, I was saying that too. It's a combination. They have a young kid, so they kind of kitted it up a little bit because it's Uncle Polly. It says happy birthday, Uncle Polly. So it's kind of a combination that the kid is excited to celebrate this with Polly. So it is kidified a little bit, but you're right. It also represents, I'm going with that part of it, that Adrian, she probably did the decoration. So it's a combination. It's fun for her kid because he's really excited. That's cute. He's very excited for the gift. He's very excited for Polly and the cake. He's very excited for Polly and the presents. So it's about the kid's enjoyment with this birthday with his uncle because he doesn't have any siblings, right? So this is his sibling, so to speak, his Uncle Polly. And to be fair to Polly and the kid, they do have a good relationship. You know, as you see in Rocky 5, they actually are very close to each other. So it's actually kind of cool to see. But yeah, look at all these gifts for Polly. It is kind of funny.
And no one's there for the birthday party.
Adrian will mention that.
Yeah.
Adrian will mention that. Well, he's about to get a new one. So let's watch. He's wearing his Xbox watch. Did you catch that? It's back on his wrist again.
Yes.
Yeah, and here it was pushed out from the parking lot.
We have the first close-up, required close-up shot of Adidas here.
Yes.
Oh, good call.
Yo, it's about time.
I'm sorry I'm late.
His whole look is just amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Great, you're here. Now you can stop calling him names.
So Polly was calling Rocky names. Any idea what the names might have been? Any guesses?
Bum.
Something with his intelligence.
Bum. Scumbum for sure. Scumbum, bum. What else?
Pretty boy, maybe.
Yeah, maybe pretty boy. You got your face all fixed up.
Got more money than brains. Something like that.
Oh, you've been calling me names, huh?
Well, we wait any longer, then I'll be ready for the next birthday.
Where have you been?
Oh, getting punched.
Well, why don't you?
Okay, Adrian. I love Adrian.
She doesn't know.
She had no idea where he was for the evening. To be fair, maybe he didn't know about this favor until he arrived at the gym and got ready for the fight.
It's just there to explain it to us again. But I don't think that they really communicate very well either.
They are terrible at communicating where they go.
She doesn't know he's going to Russia either. Like,
Another thing, though, is that back in the day, you didn't communicate as much, right? Nowadays, you text. Say, hey, I'm busy. I'm doing something with Apollo. I'll see you in a bit. It's funny Apollo wasn't invited to come back here for the birthday party if he's in town.
No.
Good point.
No way. I don't think
so. Well, he and Polly ended up becoming friends towards the end.
Yeah, they kissed. During the fight.
Okay. So now Polly says, look, why don't you bring the cake in here? So that's what he wants. He wants the cake.
Bring the cake in here. We can get the celebration underway.
It's a great cake.
Hey, babe, it's a great cake.
I think you'll love it. You got a great surprise for you. You're going to love this cake, okay?
So now Adrian has been sent. We know what's coming, but Rocky's given the direction to the robot to get ready. Because he says, go get the cake, which means, does she have to turn on the power switch or something? Or does she put the cake on the robot's arms? What is she doing back there, do you think?
She's putting the cake in the robot's arms and turning it on, telling it however they instruct it, right? The robot can't go pick up a cake.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about this robot's sentient ability because, it's doing it in the film. So we have to assume it understands language and can respond accordingly. It sees what's going on and is able to communicate comments to the scenario around it, no?
Its physical capabilities are limited by its being a robot. Like it can't.
No real abilities. It can spin. It can move what do you call those electronic circle vacuum cleaners? What do you call those things?
Roomba.
Roomba. It's basically a Roomba with arms. And
the head is pretty awesome. I don't know. I really do like the robot. Oh, a lot.
We all love the robot. And we're gonna get to the robot.
Yeah.
Okay. So Adrian has gone to get the robot ready. So I guess she's grabbing the cake from the counter and she's putting the robot's arms and lighting the candles
too. That's exactly what's happening.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And so of course Rocky knows this and he's very excited. And what I love too. Has Polly been told not to enter the kitchen, to stay out of that area for the time being?
And he probably doesn't go in there. He's always asking.
Are you kidding? That's where the beer is. That's where the beer is. You bet he's going there.
Requests somebody get it for him.
God, the fucking staff at Rocky's house must hate that guy. He probably leaves a mess everywhere. He's probably passed out drunk half the time. He's probably asking them for stupid shit. He's probably sexually harassing the females.
1,000%.
The guy's a menace.
Where is it? Well, let me set the mood here. I gotta turn the lights down, everything. Watch this.
It's parked outside the driveway?
Jesse?
That's a good question. Is it parked outside the driveway? That's a fair... Rocky is mega rich. He can afford a sports car for Polly. I kind of don't blame Polly for being a little bit confused and irritated by the present. So we'll see.
Same.
And of course, Rocky turns off the lights to set the mood, I guess because the robot has lights, so it adds to the effect. Again, I love how the robot has its own... music that it plays when it comes around the corner.
You guys, this is actually, I'm not even joking, one of my favorite parts because of the music foreshadows later events and that Rocky gets nervous. Like it, I don't know, it just puts us in the mood for Rocky IV. And you guys, please tell me I'm not the only one that also actually gets nervous watching Rocky fights. Like before the fight, I get nervous too, as if I'm the fighter.
No, I'm like Adrian, those beatings, I took those beatings with you.
When Rocky is like, oh, it's, I'm getting nervous, like it's a fight. I'm like, yeah, me too. I kind of am.
I'm so excited that I'm starting to sweat. I feel like I'm getting ready to go into a big fight or something. Watch this.
There's the Roomba. All right. Happy birthday, Polly. Classic scene, classic moment. The lights. We've got these digital readouts. And now here's a little plug. What I might do on this show notes, I will plug the link to my interview with the robot creator, Robert Dornick. He is the creator of the robot. And everything you see here is his creation and his making. I interviewed, and it's actually a fascinating interview. He gives some great Rocky IV behind the scenes commentary, stuff you'll not hear anywhere else except for my interview. I'm telling you right now, folks, I'm not trying to overplug myself, but if you want to get more Rocky trivia, behind the scenes information, check out the interview I did with Robert Dornick. He is also the voice of the robot. That's his voice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Even when the robot gets the sexy voice, like
no, not this, the male version.
Let me get your beer.
But in all seriousness, though, you guys, it's like funny because we've seen it a bazillion times and we poke fun and blah blah. But in 1985, if this is the first time you're seeing this, wasn't this like the most awesome thing you've ever seen?
Of course. It was your typical 80s movies in the sense that they're very big on sci-fi futuristic stuff. You know, even like movies from Back to the Future. kind of playing with the idea of futuristic, future. The 80s were big on this. So they always had a lot of Short Circuit, The Terminator. There was a lot of movies about cyborgs and robots. It was a very big decade to kind of examine the idea of AI and robots. It became very big in films. And so the robot, like I said, was a real robot. We know the story. Well, listen to the interview because Robert goes through the whole story about how the robot came into this film. But there's a reason why this robot, this very robot, it was not made for the film. It was already made and brought into the film. There's your tease. So if I don't share the link to my interview, remind me to do so in an email or something, because that's very key. I'll leave it at that. Don't share it. I want people to listen to the interview. There's a reason why the robot's in the film. It's not because of what you think. It was not written for the film until a reason for it. This actual model and robot has a purpose, is what I'm trying to say. And it's pretty cool.
Sort of thought a lot of people knew that, but I'm curious to see if people maybe don't know.
I guess I was one of the few that didn't. I, as big as a Rocky fan as I am,
it's in there.
I'd be surprised if everyone knew the reason why this robot exists. But if they do, that's great. It's still a good interview. Trust me. There's stories.
Yeah. I think probably over the last, maybe because of your interview, I feel like people might know more. Why?
Well, when I interviewed Robert Dornick, there was other interviews that came out and that became kind of news. Yes.
Yeah.
It made the rounds on the internet. But I'm saying, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but when I interviewed Robert Dornick, I never heard about it till my interview. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
It is a good interview. I highly recommend.
Personally, I think the robot is stupid. I don't like it.
Well, Sly feels the same way, ironically, which is interesting. I don't want to spoil anything, which is interesting that he felt that way. Because he takes it out of
it's super weird that he feels that way. You wouldn't have it in there now if you made the movie now, but at the time, especially for Rocky IV when it was man versus machine, it totally works for Rocky IV, I think.
The robot was supposed to, we'll mention again, probably get there, but the robot was supposed to be there for the Rocky V auction. The robot was on tour. That's all. I'll leave that again. Another hint, listen to the interview. It was on tour. It was unable to be there at the filming. Yeah.
The Japanese are making what I heard are pretty good sex robots. I wonder if this robot here has certain attachments for Polly to enjoy himself with.
Yes, we know. Well, I can't listen to the interview. There's some talk about that as well, about their connection. Not necessarily sexual, but they do bond even more in the film that we see. Yeah. Okay.
God. Your present.
Yo, I wanted a sports car for my birthday. Not no walking trash can.
See, so he goes, I wanted a sports car for my birthday, not a walking trash can. And the robot had its feelings hurt. Did you see that? The robot does this, puts his head down, like, oh, but I brought the cake and everything, and I'm wishing you happy birthday. This robot is so highly sentient that it recognized the negative comment and acted as a human would act. Now, it doesn't feel because it is just a robot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can also, but it is sentient enough to respond in a human-like manner. It's a myth. I'm sorry. That's what it's doing, folks. It's responding to the comment. And of course, now Rocky tries to sell the robot. Oh, come on. He looks great here. So it's he, officially.
Great.
He's extremely psycho, Rocco.
Well, since you don't have any friends, we thought you'd like it.
Yeah. Pretend you're happy. Well, you'll keep your company when you're all alone.
So, you know, the joke Adrian says there, of course, is since you don't have any friends, we think you'd like it. And it's interesting. When she was speaking, did you catch that the robot looked at her while she was speaking? It turned its head to watch Adrian as she spoke, gave her attention. So that's how sentient it is. It actually turned its head to pay attention to Adrian's talking. Of course, the name of the robot officially is Sico. That's funny enough, S-I-C-O. They bring out the cake, and of course, it's Polly on the cake. I would love to have my face on the cake one day. Maybe I'll do that one day. And of course, he says, that's a great looking guy.
That's a great looking guy.
Please make a wish.
It's creepy. That talks, that thing.
It's creepy. It talks, that thing. I love it. Oh, of course it talks. I already said happy birthday, Polly, but maybe he forgot that.
I think he meant like the way it talks. The voice is creepy, like at first, before he changes her.
No, I don't think it's sentient. There's a difference, I think, between...
It's not self-aware. Look, I don't want to get the...
I'm funny.
But you're right.
We know what you mean.
But it's responding to the environment. It's interacting
smart.
It's smart enough to recognize this is a conversation. This is how I should act. This is how I respond. But is it self-aware? I don't know. That's sentient, right? No, I don't know if it's self-aware. But it's responding to the environment. Like Siri would respond to you with a voice command. Yeah. And then Rocky says, creepy, this thing is the greatest. I wish I had this when I was growing up, which I love.
Because
Polly's like 10 years older than Rocky, but he's talking about Polly still growing up. That's kind of a dig at Polly that he's still growing up.
Yeah, that's right. I never I never put that together, but yeah, you're right. It is weird for a younger person to say that to an older person.
Who's already a full grown adult who's like, you know, a couple years to 50 himself. But that's the dig. He's actually kind of in a casual way, kind of digging at Polly. I wish I had this when I was growing up. Kind of like
you're the kid. You guys should watch the Fallon clip, but if you don't, there's a really funny Jimmy's asking them about their trip to the Vatican.
Right. That's a great story. Yeah.
And the Pope is telling Rocky, and the way that Sly tells it's hilarious, he's like, the Pope, who's like 130 years old, is telling me that he watched my movies growing up. Yeah. That's so great. Sly's like, how old am I? Yeah.
That was fun. That was actually very good. Yeah, it's a very good moment.
Creepy. This is the greatest. I wish I had one of these when I was growing up. Come on, make a wish, like you said.
I wish I wasn't in this nightmare.
A very classy wish. Very nice. What do you think there? Very good, huh?
See, even Rocky's getting a kick out of this.
It's so adorable. Every little bit of it. Mm-hmm.
He's getting a great kick out of this thing, you know, responding to, like, what do you think? He's like, yeah, I agree. It's a lousy wish. It's a lousy wish. Like, this robot's like, yeah, he was mean to me, and you like that I'm here. Like, you're my new favorite owner. Yeah. Very good, huh?
Want to help me put out this forest fire?
Sure.
Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. Whoa, whoa. You drowned in me.
I just love that you drowned into me. I don't know why that part always kills me.
Me too. Me too, Ryan.
Yeah. He goes, help me put out this forest fire, which is a great line. And then the whole whipping cream and you drowned into me, which I like too, that you didn't get mad at the kid.
Yeah.
Paulie in his cankerous way might not have liked that, but because the kid did it, it was fine for him that the kid got him all whipped cream.
The kid's his only friend, really. That's
true. Now he's got the robot, though.
Now, what I do like here is we do have a little bit of a mess on the robot's face, which would indicate some foreshadowing later in the relationship.
Oh, my God.
Right here. Don't worry. I'll clean it up for you, See, that's what the robot says after the lovemaking. I'll clean it up for you, Polly. Okay, that is enough of that. We're running late, folks. We're running late. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to stop it there. Okay.
Okay, because that's going to be really good.
The robot's that aware that it's visually seeing a mess, recognizes that a mess has been created in this human world and that it's offering and is completely inability to do so. The arms do not move in any way, shape, or form to clean up a mess. But it still says to Polly, don't worry, I'll clean it up for you, Polly. So the robot recognizes the mess and its willingness to help. This thing's insane. That's insane. Even your phone won't say that to you if it saw whipped cream everywhere.
It's awesome. Yeah, I agree with you, though. I mean, we just go with it. To your point earlier, like Rocky IV had to be course corrected in 5 because it did take us to an unrealistic level in a few ways.
Yeah, Rocky IV is peak 1980s films. Mm-hmm. And Sly's commented on this, that the excess of the mid-80s in this film is a product of its time, in a time that is not aging super well, so...
But people love 80s movies. Like, it's a whole thing because was just fun. And
people love 80s movies who grew up seeing 80s movies.
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you show 80s movies to people who are younger, who have never seen them.
Problems. Like,
yeah. Okay. Or there, what was that film I watched for the first time, Ryan, that we did for
Bloodsport.
The podcast? Was it the one with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Yeah, Bloodsport,
Yeah, I'd never seen that for some reason. And so I watched this film with fresh eyes in the modern age. This film is absurd. It was funny how bad it was, but a lot of people really liked that film because they grew up with it, right? Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing film. I love it. But you're also a bit of a tough sell. You're a little bit different, Kyle. No offense to you. I watch a lot of reaction videos on YouTube when I'm working. I get to watch YouTube, which thankfully kills a lot of the boring time on watch. And so I watch a lot of Rocky reactions. And so to your point, though, when people get to these 80 films, they'll often say the same thing that we all say. They recognize that the course change the 80 films brought to the Rocky franchise, but they still enjoy the craziness, the zaniness, and the responses are what you expect when the robot comes around the corner. All the reactors are like, because they're like 20-year-old kids or 30-year-old kids, and they're always like, what is going on here? And they just go with it. But they say that, but they go with it because it's 80s. They've seen enough 80s films with their other reactions. They just kind of know that's the decade of the 80s. It is what it is. Usually the response is bewilderment. At the end of the day, they're like, why do we have a robot? Why? And so yeah. I think Sly, that's what he tried to course correct, was the why. He's like, well, if you watch my director's cut, you won't have that question. Okay. Well, that was it, folks. That is the start to our journey of Rocky IV, episode one. I suspect we'll have quite a few episodes to go through, because the way we go through episodes, it takes a while. That was just the birthday scene. The next scene, of course, is the bed scene, which we'll get to. And any last thoughts before we close this episode?
Just to your point about that, I've had several people, when they find out that I do this, they're like, is there enough content to do like a whole, they're like, how do you talk about Rocky for 20 episodes? I'm like, oh yeah, we do.
I'm going to say something bad here. Uh-oh. I'm actually embarrassed to tell people I do a Rocky podcast just because, just hear me out here.
Sure. Tell us why you don't want to be here. Go ahead.
No, it's because Rocky's misunderstood by so many people.
Mm.
Why would you be on a podcast for something so stupid?
They haven't seen the films. Like, again, back to these reactors, there are people like ages between 25 and 35. That seems to be that fine age group of millennials, where it's 25 to 35. So if you think about that, Rocky Balboa came out 18 years ago. So a 25-year-old today was only 6 or 7 when that film came out. So they didn't see any of these films.
People who are older than me, too, that's similar.
But they saw it once. They might have saw
There's some people that just don't get it.
A lot of these young kids, what I'm getting at is they've heard the same stories, right? They've heard the same things. And they'll kind of go, they always say the same thing. I had no idea. I thought it was just a brute boxing. I had no idea it was a love story. I had no idea Rocky was so likable. They didn't know. And so it's really cool to hear their preconceived notions being dispelled live. Yeah.
If you tell men my age or older, they'll be like, oh, okay. But and it's more of the stuff comments Katie gets. Oh, do you have enough content for that? Not that they hate the Rocky films necessarily, but people almost think it's kind of weird. But women, especially, if you tell women that you do a Rocky podcast, they'll be like, okay, just because they see it as like a dumb movie.
Right? This gives women such a bad name. And I'm like, it blows my mind that women aren't more into it.
Okay, again, Katie, the majority of the reactors I watched that I choose to watch, who watch the Rocky films for the first time on YouTube, are female reactors. That's where they are. Because they're misinformed. They all thought it was about a bunch of fighting. I don't like to watch boxing. I don't like violence. They'll say that. And they'll watch the movie and they're like, oh, I love these two. I love this couple. They're the best screen couple in the world. So it's really fun to watch them convert to the world of Rocky, because they're thinking, where are the women? Not their fault, but they're just saying, oh, it's about a guy who gets his face beat in, and it's that's an action star, Sly, who plays a Rambo character. Of course, he's going to be a violent guy in the boxing ring. They just think it's some sort of like a blood sport movie. They don't know it's not an action film, you know, to a certain degree. Rocky 3 and 4 have that bit of that element, but it's a love story and it's a family story, which again, why Rocky 5 exists the way it does, because Sly's like, I want to bring it back to the family. That's what he did.
I can understand women, like, I guess I'm weird growing up with these, but even if you didn't, you're my age or whatever, as a woman, you grew up with just things coming on whatever cable and you catch it. You're like, you didn't purposefully watch it, but it comes on. And if like a Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 comes on and you're 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever, aren't you, wow, he's super attractive. I like to look at that. Even from a more primal point, it's weird that women don't like it.
Yeah, I know. It is weird. Well, thanks, Tim, who said, great show, guys. Entertaining as always. Well, we hope so. We hope those who listen to us enjoy. So send us an email. Give us a review on our whatever podcast app you use. Usually the majority of them are iTunes listeners, according to my stats. It's iTunes listeners. Guys, come on. All you have to do is give us 5 stars. All you have to do. You can also say, hey, great show, guys. But the ratings do help. They do help. One is it's free to do. If you want to join my Patreon, you get these episodes free and unedited and early. So that's the bonus. And you also just help me out, because the StreamYard costs a lot of money per year. And also, I edit every episode. It takes time. So it's like, hey, Ryan, here's a cup of coffee or here's a beer or whatever. And I do appreciate it. So thank you to everyone who watches and participates and promotes the show. However, this episode's over.
I didn't hear no bell.
I just want to say one thing. My wife. You win!